This morning we do have the Lord's Supper that we are going to celebrate, but as I said, I wanted to share with us a message on how God grows our faith. How God grows our faith. I came to faith in the Lord at an early age in life, and I thank God for parents like mine that taught me about God. They were faithful to teach me. They were faithful to talk to me about the Lord and my need for Him. As many of you know, my dad didn't come from a family of faith. And as I'm honest with you, over the years, there have been times in my life where I've struggled, where my faith has been tested, where I've wavered. But God held on to me. God wouldn't let me. And as I look back on my life, as I look back on things that have happened in my life, I see the times where God has built my faith and built my trust. And so now I'm asking the question to you, and I want you to think, how does God grow my faith? What does He do? What does He use to build my faith? And before we answer that, let's look at a couple of verses in the Bible on this topic of faith. A couple of verses. The first is Matthew 9, verse 29. Matthew 9, verse 29. Read this with me, please. According to your faith, let it be to you. What are you expecting God to do in your life? What are you expecting Him to do with you in your life? The fact is, we tend often to get what we expect out of life. Usually we will get what it is that we expect. Now, I'm not here before you today as a motivational speaker and just telling you whatever you wish for, just make a wish, make it big, because, you know, just be positive. If you're positive, then it can come to pass. It will come to pass. This morning, the All Blacks were positive, and we were positive we could win, right? And being positive isn't a bad thing, and it does help. I'm sure, though, the Wallabies went out positive as well. What I'm talking about, though, is how much faith do I have in not just what I would wish for, but in the truth of what God has declared, the truth of God. And I can have confidence in Him. I can have confidence in His truth. In other words, do I truly believe in life that I am not condemned anymore, that I am set free? Do I believe that? Do I truly believe I am free from sin? I am not in bondage to sin. I am not a slave to sin. Do I truly believe that? Is that something that I will hold on to and cling to, a truth I'm going to live by? Do I truly believe that God is with me wherever I go? That nothing can separate me from the love of God. That all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Do I truly believe in my life that He's made me for a reason, made me for a purpose, and that my life is given, that my life is here to bring glory to God? Do I believe these things? Do you believe these things? You see, you will get what you expect out of life. And I'm not telling you here to put your faith in just some positive thinking. I'm telling you to put your faith in what God has done and declared, the truth of the Word of God. Let that be where your faith is. And live by that. Let me share another verse with you. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Read this with me again. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Impossible to please God. Without faith, God is looking for men and women of faith. People who completely trust Him. How many of you are parents here? Many, many parents. How many of you are pleased when you see in your children real they exercise real trust in you? In fact, sometimes we speak to our kids and we try to tell them what is best, and we say, trust me in this. And it brings joy to a parent's face and their heart when they say, okay, mom, okay, dad, I'll trust you in this. I believe you know what's right. You know what's best. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can obey God and you can even do the right things and still not be pleasing to God because you're not doing it in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it's important how we live. It's important to learn to live by faith. And finally, in Luke 17, verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. How do you do that? I want to have more faith. If that's what pleases God, then I want to have more faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God, I want to be a man of faith. The question is, how? Are there any special prescription pills that we have to take to have more faith? Of course not. Do you have to go to some therapy? Are there some seminars? Not really. Now, here's the secret, and it's very simple, and it might even disappoint you to hear this. You're not going to get real excited about it at first, but the truth is God builds your faith by testing your faith. He builds it by testing it. How many of you had your faith tested? So it's not new, is it? And it's not particularly exciting to think about, oh, I want my faith to be built. Okay, we're going to test it. There's a number of you in here and in this church that work out each week. There's a number here even Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and even Saturdays that have workout times here at the church. You guys are crazy, but I admire you. I admire you. To get your endurance up, to get stronger, to get in better shape, you have to test your muscles, don't you? To test your muscles, if you want to get stronger, if you want to get better, you have to put them to the test. You have to work it out hard, and it kind of hurts. And the next day, you're going to be sore from that testing time. But what happens through the testing? They get built up. They get stronger. They get able to do more. They can last better. Next time, it's going to be easier. Next time, it's not going to be such a difficult test to keep up for that hour or so that you're working out, because your muscles, your endurance has been tested, and it strengthens you. James chapter 1, James has something to say about this. He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It produces patience. It produces that endurance that God is looking for in your life. He's looking to build your faith, to strengthen your faith. And the way it's done is through that testing time. The testing of your faith produces that patience. And God is looking to make you perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I want you to be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. He says the purpose of these tests is that our faith, our perseverance will grow, that we become mature. So how does God test our faith? And here's the bones of our message this morning. How does God test our faith? Number one, He tests it through problems and difficulties. And that is number one, isn't it? He's going to test it through problems and difficulties. I don't need to ask for a show of hands who have been through some problems and difficulties in life. I don't need to ask for a show of hands of believers. Even though you've been walking with the Lord for many years, have you been through some problems and difficulties in your life? Because every one of us would be able to attest to that. Yes, every one of us would be able to say, I've been through some hard things. The trials, problems, pressures, circumstances, the stresses. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, Peter says this. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now it's difficult. Now it's hard. It's not the fun time." Verse 7, "that the genuineness of your faith," this is the reason that you have to go through these trials and being grieved in them, "that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." This is why God allows you to go through that trial. This is why God allows you to go through that testing. He is stretching your faith. He is showing the genuineness of your faith. It is being refined like precious gold. Nothing ever happens by accident in the life of a follower of Jesus. Nothing happens by accident. Everything comes through the Father. I'm not saying that God plans all the bad things that happens to you. He doesn't have to, because we live in a fallen world. But there is nothing that comes in your direction that God has not allowed to come. There's a difference, and I hope you can appreciate that. We live in a broken world. What I am saying, though, is that nothing comes into your life, if you're a child of God, nothing comes into your life without the permission of God. It couldn't happen without His permission. And so God lets these problems come into your life to test you. Sometimes God allows specific problems, specific tailor-made problems, to come into our lives to test us. In the Old Testament, we see a character by the name of Jonah. God made a specific problem just for him. He made a specific trial just for him. And that trial just ate him up, didn't it? It got his attention. It swallowed him. But it got his attention. It did what God had set out to accomplish in his life. That trial. He was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. And in Jonah chapter 2, verse 7, Jonah says, "When my soul fainted within me," he's saying when I gave up, when there was nothing left in me, when I was broken, when I was at the bottom of myself, when the trial was just so great, "I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you." You see what God accomplished through this trial in Jonah's life? Jonah was on a different mission. Jonah was doing something completely different than what God had intended for Jonah to do. And so God allowed a problem, a trial, to come into Jonah's life. And Jonah testified that when I was at the end, when I was ready to just give up and throw in the towel, that's when I remembered the Lord. That's when I cried out in prayer to you, God. Was Jonah's faith tested? Did Jonah come out better for it? Was his faith strengthened? Absolutely. Here's a good verse when you're going through tough times. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10, it says, "Behold, I have refined you." God says, "I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." Have you been in that furnace before? Have you been in the furnace of affliction? That's the furnace of trouble. That's the furnace of trial. That's the furnace that is hot. It's not fun. It's painful. It hurts. The furnace of affliction. So what should I do when I'm going through these difficulties? What should I do when I'm in the furnace of affliction? Maybe you're in the furnace of affliction right now, and the heat is getting pretty warm. And you're saying, "God, I can't do this. I can't take anymore. I can't take the heat anymore." What should you do? How should you respond? James says in James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When you fall into the furnace of affliction, James says, count it all joy. Can you do that? Can you count it joy when you're in the affliction, when you're in the furnace of affliction? He says, if you've got a problem, rejoice. Thank God. Why? Because I know that God is with me. God has a plan for me. God has a plan and a purpose for this affliction that I'm in. I don't know it. I may not know what that purpose is. Remember, I can't see the big picture like God can see. But I can trust and I can know that God has a purpose for it. God has a plan for me. Notice James, though, doesn't say to be thankful for the problems. We don't have to get silly about this. God doesn't expect us to thank Him for every bad thing that happens in life that comes. Like if you get cancer, you don't need to say, God, thank you for this cancer. I've been looking for this. I've been needing this. But you can rejoice in it. You can rejoice in God in the midst of the affliction, in the middle of the trial. God, thank you that you are with me. Thank you that you are working in me. Thank you that, God, I know you are with me. You will not leave me. And even in this trial, there's a reason and there's a purpose that you've allowed this to happen to me. And so, God, I am going to rejoice. So the lesson here, the lesson that we learn through the problems and difficulties is I have to learn to rejoice continually. Rejoice continually. It's not easy to rejoice in the midst of trials. But we are told that God allows these to test our faith. James reminds us that count all joy. Rejoice in the midst of the trials. How else does God test our faith? We see through trials, through the furnace of affliction. But we see secondly through commands He gives to us. Commands. He asks us to do things that sometimes it seems too difficult for us. Throughout the New Testament, there are many, many commands that God wants us to obey. And some of these commands to a normal person might seem unreasonable or even impossible. When you see a command and it seems like you can't do it, the issue at that moment is, who am I going to believe? Who am I going to trust? Am I going to trust God or not? The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious for nothing. Do you struggle with that? Jesus said, do good to your enemies. Do you struggle with that one? Jesus says to forgive. To forgive other people. Forgive those that have wronged you. Be thankful in everything. The list goes on, but every time God gives a command in the Bible, there is a demand placed on our life, and that is a test. Am I going to have faith in God? Am I going to believe Him? Am I going to obey Him? Confess your faults one to another. This is a test as well. The test is, am I going to trust what God says to do? Am I going to believe that what He says is right? Or am I going to trust my own self, my own opinions, what I feel is right in my own eyes? There's hundreds of examples in the Bible of people who were tested by a command from God. There was a guy by the name of Abraham. You remember his story? God gave him commands. Abraham, I want you to go somewhere. I'm going to show you where later, but I want you to take your family and go. Abraham went. He passed the test. Later, God gave him another test. Abraham, I want you to bring your only son up to that mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him there for me. Abraham passed that test. The list goes on. There was a guy named Noah. And God told Noah, Noah, there's going to be a great flood. There's nothing right now, but I want you to start building a boat right now. It's going to be a while, but it's coming. A command. And to some people, they might have said, that's just silly. That's just too much. That's unreasonable. I can't do that. But Noah believed God. Noah's faith was tested by God's command. So the lesson here, for the trials that come through commands, I have to learn to obey immediately. Immediately. And then thirdly, we see our faith is tested through our possessions, the things that God gives to us, all that God gives to us. The Bible describes money as one of the greatest tests in life. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verse 11, Jesus says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, and mammon is what? Mammon? Money? Okay. If you haven't been faithful in unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Jesus is saying basically, the things that I've given to you and how you handle that and how you're stewards of it, it's a test. I'm testing you. I am testing your faith. This is what he is talking about. There's a definite, direct relationship between how I handle my possessions and the spiritual depth in my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. As Paul is writing to the church, he's encouraging them to keep growing in all different ways spiritually. And he says in verse 7, as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. And this grace that he is speaking of is this grace of giving. He says, see that you abound in this grace. And he says in verse 8, I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. He says this is a test of sincerity, a test of your love. Abound in this grace of giving. God tests us through our possessions. What do you do with the things that God has given to you to do? The lesson here is that I have to learn to give generously. Generously to the Lord, generously to others. What are you doing with the possessions that God has given to you? And then number four, another and final way that we see God testing us, this is an important one, and this is one that maybe gets you, it gets me, but it's through delay. Delaying. You pray and you bring your prayers to God. And they're important. They're so important to you. And they're emergencies to you. And you pour your heart out to the Lord. And you wait. And then you go and you pray again. God, did you hear me the first time? And you wait. And there are some times that God delays the answer to prayer. Think about this, though. If every prayer were immediately answered, your faith in the Lord wouldn't be stretched. It wouldn't be stretched. But sometimes God delays an answer. Again, ours isn't the question, why God? Why don't you answer me when I pray? But God, your time, you know what's best. Your will is perfect. God, I don't have the entire picture like you do. You're God and I'm just a creation here. And so we trust God. And as we wait on the Lord, our faith is tested. We have to wait on things. It's human nature to hate to wait. I hate to wait. You hate to wait. you know, if we feel that we need something now, we don't want to wait. The Israelites, they had to wait on the Lord at times. God had promised them a land. They had to wait 40 years to get into it. It was a testing time. Now, through their own lack of belief, through their own failing of testings, God had to test them longer, didn't he? And sometimes if we don't pass the test, if we don't get it, we have to go around the block again. And God took them through the wilderness, through that time of testing, and their prayers were delayed by God. The Bible, though, says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness." You're going to remember this, people. God led you these 40 years out in the wilderness, out in the desert, to humble you and test you. Were they still going to believe God? Were they going to believe what God had promised, what God had said, what God had told them? 40 years is a long time. It's a long time to wait. He says, to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So out in the wilderness, God was even using that, not only as a judgment for their lack of faith, but as a testing time to see what was in their hearts. God wants to build you. God wants to make you mature and complete and perfect, lacking nothing. This is God's intention for your life, and he does it by tests. Do you ever find yourself in situations, I bet we all have, where you feel like you're in a hurry? You're in a hurry about something, but you feel like God's really not in that big a hurry after all. Do you ever feel like that? I'm in a hurry. I see this is important. Why doesn't God see it as important? And why isn't he in a hurry like I am? I would suggest that God is more interested in building, in maturing, and growing your faith than anything else. That's his purpose. That's his goal in your life, is to stretch you, to test you, to build you, to make you mature more than anything else. Some of you are waiting on something right now. Maybe you've been waiting a long time for a prayer. And you keep praying, and you bring it before him. While you're waiting, God is still there. He does not leave you alone. This waiting time for you may be a test. It may be a test that God is doing in your life. Hopefully not 40 years. But if it is, are you going to pass the test? God uses difficulties and demands. He uses our possessions. And he also uses delays to build our faith. Lesson, I have to learn to wait patiently. I'm not by nature a patient man. And God uses delays to build me, to test me, to stretch me, to teach me patience. God uses problems, difficulties, those trials, that furnace of affliction. Maybe you're in that right now. God uses commands. Are you obeying him instantly? Are you obeying the Lord? Do you want God's will and work to be done in your life? The first question is, are you obeying him? That's a test. God uses our possessions to test us. What are you doing with what God has given to you? These things are given for tests. They're temporary. They're not permanent. But they do test what's going on inside. And God uses delays. Rejoice continually. Obey him immediately. Give generously. And wait on him patiently. Amen? Stand with me if you would. Let's take a few minutes to respond to our Lord in our hearts, in our prayers. You know, this morning we've looked at how God tests our faith. Well, He builds our faith by testing it. And we've looked at how God tests it. God, I pray that our prayer this morning is, Lord, help my unbelief. Give us more faith. Help us to trust You more. And God, as we go through these trials, as we go through these tests that You bring our way, whether it's that furnace of affliction, or whether it's obeying Him and the commands that He gives to us, whether it's a test through our possessions or a test through delays in prayers answered. God, I want to pass these tests. I want my faith to be stretched. I want my faith to grow. And next time you go through the same test, it's a little bit easier because you passed the test. God has built you. God has grown you in it. This morning, will you simply yield yourself to Him? Will you simply say, God, increase my faith. I will trust You no matter what. In the midst of the affliction, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You by obeying You. The commands in Your word, even the difficult ones that I may struggle with. God, I need Your strength. I need Your power because it's too much for me. But I will trust You. With my possessions, Lord, I will trust You. You are the giver of all things. And those prayers that He may delay, Lord, even then, I'm going to trust You that You know what is best, that Your way is always the best. I'm going to trust You in it. Strengthen my faith, I pray. Build my faith. Would you like to come? Would you like to spend some time with the Lord at this time? Commit yourself to Him. And say, God, strengthen my faith. And may our heart be, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Would You come at this time, a few moments? The invitation is open. Spend some time with the Lord at this time. Come. Amen. Come. Whatever you're going through right now, commit yourself to Him at this time. Commit yourself to Him. No one loves you more than the Lord. No one knows you better than He does. Commit your life to Him. Oh, Father, I thank You for loving us. And Lord, there are times that our faith is going to be tested and tried. And You use all these various means to test us. Sometimes, Lord, I have to admit, I haven't done well. I have perhaps failed the tests. And in Your grace and Your love, You allow me to go through more testing. So, Father, I pray I would gladly submit myself to Your testing, yield myself to You, and say, God, have Your way with me. Strengthen my faith through these tests. Strengthen my faith, Lord. I pray that next time I will be stronger for it. That next time I will have a greater level of faith and dependence upon You. Lord, in the midst of this affliction that I may be in right now, I happily and gratefully yield myself to you. I depend upon you, Lord. You are my strength. You're my Lord, my Savior. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat. We're now going to together take of the Lord's table. So I'd like some help at the front, please, from my brothers, Jojo, Renee, Joel, and okay, thank you, Pastor Chad, if you're able. Thank you. The scripture gives us instructions of the Lord's Supper, and specifically we get them from 1 Corinthians 11, instructions to a church on what they were doing wrong and what they were supposed to do. And again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, 23, that I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. So they took the bread and they took the cup. These are symbols to remember the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. At this time, I invite you to come and take these elements and return back to your seats. And while you're doing this quietly and in an orderly fashion from the outside rows in first, I want you to hear the words of a song called, Oh, the Blood. Outside rows, you may stand.
Shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Blood of the Lamb, what a sound. the blood, it is my victory. Oh, what love, no greater love. Grace, how can it be that in my sin, yes, even then, he shed his blood for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. And what a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. Oh, ooh, ooh.
Man, thank you, Jen. Once again, the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Father, we hold in our hand the bread that reminds us of the body of our Lord. The body that he took upon himself, because as we were told in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was in the beginning, all things were made by him. And then at the right time, he took on this body. He became one of us to die for us. We thank you for that body, Lord, that sinless body that was nailed to the cross and abused, and that body that died but was resurrected again. In Jesus' name, amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So, Father, we hold the cup in our hands, and that cup that reminds us of the blood that was shed for us, the blood that was willingly shed for us, that blood that washes away our sin, the blood that takes our sin completely away. Thank you for that blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And we have done as the Lord has told us, and we'll continue until the Lord comes again and we're with him face to face in heaven. Please, as the men take up the cups, we have a few announcements that you need to hear before we're dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you for the message this morning.
It's okay.
and for the communion time and for those who made the preparation of the table and setting everything up. Hey, on your announcements this morning, if you'll just check inside the bulletin that we have for the notices, one of the things coming up that we mentioned in the last several weeks is we're having a garage sale, and this is for the Young Adults Retreat and Conference. And what we're asking is if you have some items that you'd like to donate to that, then please bring them in or see Gretchen Young and let her know what items that you might have. And those items will need to be here at the church by Saturday, the 14th of November, where the yard sale will be taking place at that time. So if you have those items, you can see a list of some of those things that are on there, clothes, toys, tools, furniture, things of that sort. Then just go ahead and let Gretchen know about that, and she'll make sure that she gives you all the times and the dates, everything that you need to know. Also coming up this coming Saturday, we're not going to have the exercise class that we normally have on Saturdays. We're going to be away at this conference coming up. Also, for those who are a part of the conference, your check-in time at the Pacific Park Christian Camp is 2 o'clock on Thursday. Now, that's the earliest you can check in, but the first session doesn't begin until 8 o'clock on Thursday. So you kind of have that time period. You can get there as early as 2 o'clock Thursday or as late as 8 o'clock on Thursday as well. And once you get there and we get settled in, we'll have the first session at 8 o'clock. We'll give you the schedule of everything else that's going to be happening for the rest of the conference time. Well, I think that's all of the announcements that we have for the morning, other than our missionaries, Wayne and Christy Smith. We'll continue to pray for them and the ministry that they're doing there in South Africa, the missionaries that we support. Also, our other missionaries, the newest letters are posted on the missions board just in the back across from the kitchen area. And so be sure and take some time and read those this week as well. Before we're dismissed, let's just take a moment and recognize if you're having a birthday or anniversary, anything special. Anyone this week celebrating a birthday? Anyone celebrating? Come on up here. He sings. He's got a birthday. He's got a lot of things going on. Come on up on over here and over here. Anyone else with a birthday? Renee? Oh, no, you don't. Not your birthday. You're coming to play, right? Like these musicians, I keep thinking, man, they have a birthday every week. Anyone else with a birthday? How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone celebrating wedding anniversary? Anyone with a wedding anniversary? No? Well, let's all stand together, and we're going to sing Happy Birthday, and then Pastor Ken will dismiss us in prayer. Let's sing. Happy birthday to you. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Is that it? God bless you. Happy birthday. None of them's gluten-free. They got all the right stuff in them. Happy birthday, Renee. God bless you.
All right. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Grab a cup of tea, cup of coffee, and be back in place for our Bible study time at 10 o'clock. It'll be a good one. This morning we're continuing Revelation. My dad, Pastor John Young, will be sharing with us the word, so don't miss it. Be sure to welcome them back too. Somebody came to me this morning and said, I saw Pastor John around on Thursday. When did they get back? And I'm thinking, oh, when did they get back? I thought they'd been back a week or two already, but it's only this week. So be sure to greet them, welcome them back home. Let's pray. Thank you, my Lord, for your goodness to us as we look into your word and we see how you build our faith. Lord, may we submit gladly to you your trials, your testing that you give to us to strengthen us, to make us more mature and perfect and complete. Lord, I pray that we would leave here today in your power, in your strength, with a renewed spirit to do the work, to bring you glory, to live for you. Dismiss us now with your blessings, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.